This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome, everybody, to The Download. Chris Lingbach here with you on Saturday morning, September 7th, 2019, in our nation's capital. It's good to be back with you this week. I took a day last week and couldn't be with you. I enjoyed an extended Labor Day weekend in Nashville, Tennessee. Beautiful town. Been there quite a few times through the years. And I don't know if there's any sort of schadenfreude to take out of this to make you feel better about it. I spent about 7 hours kayaking on a river somewhere south of Nashville, Tennessee. And when I dropped that kayak in the water, I had zero idea that this river was 9 miles and there would not be an exit until the very end of that 9 mile stretch. Flipped over two good times. So that's, I guess, my penance for not being here to serve you, the longtime downloaders out there, the longtime listeners of this average to subpar radio show. But I'm back. I'm here. I missed all of Redskins' cuts. I didn't have to deal with the madness, but again, that's why you train a set of highly skilled employees underneath you, and my man Ben Krimmel was working overtime the entire weekend because I was unavailable. But I do want to say, just to tip my hand a little bit, that those Redskins' cuts, all the roster stuff, that is probably going to dominate this program, just taking a quick peek at the top five. It's been a while, I would say, since the Redskins have had a royal flush dominance over our top five most read stories of the week from thefandc.com. But obviously, cutdown day is one of the biggest web traffic days of the year. So there's no surprise there that we're going to have a lot of news and bites and stuff to parse through from all of last weekend and how that has affected the Redskins moving forward as they prepare to take on the Philadelphia Eagles in Philadelphia at the Link in week one. Before we jump into our top stories of the week, I wanted to direct your attention to a couple of feel-good stories. First of all, what an incredible thrill Tuesday night's Nats game was. The largest deficit the Nationals have ever overcome in a ninth inning occurred that night as the Nats trailed, 10-4 heading into the bottom of the ninth. They had given up 5 runs in the top of the ninth. It just comes screaming back, scoring 7 runs to win the game on the Kurt Suzuki walk-off home run, an 11-10 victory. That's the type of signature victory that you look back on after a season and you think, wow, that was a special year. That was a special season. And here's one fine example of why. I wanted to play for you the audio as it happened right here on these airwaves. Just give you one more chance to relive it, because it was just such a unique, incredible experience. Charlie Slows just delivers a home run of his own right here.
Here's the set. 3-2 to Suzuki. Swung on and deep to left field. Way back. Going. It's gone. Goodbye. Game over. Kurt Suzuki has done it again. Bang. Zoom goes Suzuki. It's one of the wins of the year. And if you walked out of this ballpark when the Mets scored 5 runs in the top of the ninth inning, you blew it! A curly final score. The Washington Nationals 11, the New York Mets 10. Unbelievable.
The greatest ninth inning comeback in Nationals history completed on the third career walk-off homer for Kurt Suzuki, his first since 2008. And he got a fastball grooved at 100 miles an hour, and it left faster than that. This team is truly amazing. We thought they might have to get off the mat tomorrow. They got off the mat in one inning.
All right, Kurt, how did that feel?
I felt great. You know, just to be able to come through for the team right there. I mean, it's a complete team win. These guys grinded at bats. You know, they gave me a spot to you know, try to win the game. Obviously, everybody's quality at bat. Zim coming up off the bench, facing 100. It's a great team win.
This is the biggest Nationals comeback in the ninth inning, and you have the game winner. You guys were down 6 and come back. I mean, again, you're talking about a team win, but what does that say about what's in this clubhouse?
We never quit, man. We just keep going and keep going and keep going. It's kind of the story of the year so far.
And the biggest thing, a chance for a series win against these guys who need to win.
Yeah, it's good. You know, you play a division, you play a good team, you want to come through. You know, you want to keep playing good games.
All right, Kurt, thanks a lot for the time and congrats on the win.
All right, thank you.
How about our guy Craig Heist right down there in the pit, right in the action to grab the star player as he's walking off the field, having walked off the Mets Tuesday night. Great get by our guy Craig Heist down there on the field. That was a new addition to the broadcast this year. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but anytime there's a huge home win for the Nationals, our guy Craig Heist, just a legend in this market. Been around forever. He's right there to bring you the game-winning player from the field. But just an incredible moment Tuesday night. I tell you what, I was driving home listening to the call. I guess it took me about the final two innings to get home from D.C. I'm out in Fairfax, and I get a text from a buddy who's a Braves fan. And by the way, a pretty enlightening experience just sharing some information with this Braves fan as of late. But maybe this is obvious, maybe it's not. Braves fans, the way that the Nats fans look at catching the Braves as impossible, Braves fans have felt the exact same way this entire time, the exact same emotion. They're just on the other end of it. And I hadn't really thought of it that way this season. But he said to me one time recently, he said, "Man, y'all don't lose. Y'all don't lose." And I was like, you know, this entire time you're thinking, man, the Nats just can't catch the Braves. They just can't gain a game on the Braves. They can't gain a half a game. If they gain a half a game, they lose it again the next night. Well, they've viewed it exactly the same way, only they can't gain a game on the Nats. They can't increase their lead by any against the Nats. So I just think it was so funny to kind of see the other side of it for once and look at it from their perspective, and it really is basically exactly the same. Both fan bases, if it brings you a little bit of a pleasure to know this, are suffering equally. But this same friend had texted me on my drive home as the ninth inning is getting going, the bottom of the ninth is getting going for the Nats. Runner gets on, and he says, "If the Nats come back and win this game, there is no God." Now, mind you, the Nats were down 6 runs at the time. So I respond and I say, there's no chance that's happening. And then I'll be damned if they didn't come back and score 7 runs. Again, it's just one of those moments that perfectly highlights how this season has gone for the Nats. And one of those moments that as a fan, no matter how this season ends, you're always going to look back on that moment finally, and you'll remember it for a very long time, I would presume. And then one other story for the Nats. Aaron Barrett, 31-year-old right-handed reliever. You haven't seen him for quite some time. Well, you saw him back in spring, but then he started his year with AA Harrisburg, but you haven't really seen him since 2015, and there's a reason for that. He's just had a brutal road back. First of all, he undergoes Tommy John surgery. So he gets taken out at the end of the 2015 season for that. Then as he's recovering from TJ, how about this? He breaks his elbow. Just a horrific injury in and of itself. Even worse that it's coming off of elbow surgery. Just listen to this from Jesse Doherty of the Washington Post. Barrett underwent Tommy John surgery to repair his right elbow in September 2015. The following summer, while throwing a simulated game in West Palm Beach, he reared back for a fastball and his humerus snapped. Just like that. Witnesses described the sound of his arm breaking as a gunshot or a wood panel cracking in half. Barrett leaped around the mound, already sobbing, and asked, "Why me?" over and over before the ambulance arrived. So that's what Barrett was trying to come back from. And I don't have to tell you, the odds are completely stacked against him that he would ever make it back to the majors. But here he is, fast forward to this week, and his AA manager, Matt LeCroy, was the bullpen coach back when Barrett first got injured with the Nationals in 2015. Now he's the Harrisburg Senators manager, and he got to have a nice little viral moment to break the news in front of Aaron Barrett and the entire Senators club that Barrett would indeed be making it back to the majors. That happened earlier this week. You can watch that video on the fandc.com/nationals. It's just so touching. And then here is Aaron Barrett after he finally gets the call and the Nats pick up his contract later in the week. Here's Aaron Barrett back in the Nationals clubhouse for the first time in 4 years.
How close did you ever come to quitting?
I mean, there were some times definitely, it definitely crossed my mind. You know, at first, when I just first started throwing a ball, I mean, obviously I didn't think I'd be able to throw a ball, in general. And then, you know, there were times where I just didn't know if I would get through it. Just the pain was too much. There's just so much going on. That I couldn't take it, but you know, I'm not a quitter, never have been, and I just found it within myself to just keep pushing forward. And I said it all along, it's when I make it back, it's gonna be a hell of a comeback story. And like I said, I'm pretty overwhelmed that I'm here, to be honest with you. It's crazy.
And then here's Aaron Barrett asked who the first person was that he called when he heard the news. He, you can just hear the struggle of 4 years of torture, emotional torture, the physical toll that the injuries and the recovery have taken on him, just flooding through him as he answers this question.
Who was the first person that you called and kind of told the news?
Called my wife. Yeah, she was just, I was crying, obviously. She was bawling. Makes me emotional just thinking about it. So I called her and told her we're going back, you know. So,
what kind of support is she kind of offered you?
Oh, it's unbelievable. She, I mean, she was basically my nurse for 2 years. It's been incredible. She's been my rock. Not only her, my family, and this organization has been incredible. Sorry.
Good for him. You can tell there's just so many different emotions wound up into that answer. There are certain times in life, certain things in life that just hit you in a certain type of way where it doesn't matter literally where you are, who you're talking to, who you're standing in front of. When the emotions hit you, you just lose it. And you could tell that was the case for Aaron Barrett right there. So what an incredible comeback story right there from Aaron Barrett. Of course, all of that stuff you can find more about at thefandc.com/nationals. When we come back, our top five stories of the week from thefandc.com. These are the biggest stories in DC sports as determined by you with your page views. You're listening to The Download on 106.7 The Fan.
It's The Download with Chris Lingbach.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
On 106.7 The Fan and the radio.com app.
Welcome back to The Download. Chris Lingbach here with you. It's time for our top five stories of the week from thefandc.com.
It's time for The Download Countdown. The five most read stories this week on thefandc.com.
Let's do this.
Number five.
As of Labor Day, there were still some people at Redskins Park holding out a shred of hope that Trent Williams might return to the team this week in time for them to take on the Eagles this Sunday. Here's what Kareem Copeland of the Washington Post had to say to Aaron Hawksworth on Monday.
I know there is a fingers crossed hope inside the building that maybe Trent rolls in tomorrow. I'm not exactly that optimistic about that, but I know there's one last little bit of hope.
And Hawksworth is a fitting name. Like a hawk, she honed in on that moment. She filed it away and circled back to it later on in the interview.
Now, I want to circle back because you said there is some hope that in the Redskins building out there in Ashburn, some hope that Trent rolls into the building tomorrow. Wow. I mean, sorry.
That's what I said also. I was talking to someone literally last week, and that was, he said, hey, you know, I'm holding out hope that he pulls in here on Tuesday. I said, fingers crossed. Fingers crossed.
My first question is, if none of his needs and wants were addressed, do you really think he's coming back?
That's the big thing that I keep coming around to is, what exactly is going to make...
I mean, he's going to look like a clown for doing all this if he comes back with his tail between his legs and nothing was addressed. He's like, well, that was fun, everybody.
Remember, we used to... I've talked to my co-worker, a carpenter, who used to be out in Seattle a lot. Mm-hmm. And this is the example he used to use. He said, back in Walter Jones' day, he used to hold out every year just because he didn't want to go to camp and all the BS. But, you know, once it got around to the time for the games to start, he'd show up and everything would be fine. So it's not super unprecedented for guys to hold out and then show up without getting anything more than what people thought. So that's not necessarily unprecedented, but I think this is just weird because it's a medical situation and it's not necessarily football medical situation.
Go ahead. Now that is actually what I was thinking, because a source the day before that mandatory minicamp, I got a text like, yo, Trent Williams isn't showing up. And I was on the air with Chris Russell and I completely downplayed it because I'm like, oh, the dude just probably, I mean, he's a veteran. He's like he's the best player on the team. He probably just doesn't want to partake in everything. That's all I thought it was. And then we heard about all this medical stuff and how upset he is at the team. And so then that, as you were saying, I think that adds another complicated layer to all of this.
It makes it different. I mean, what if you're Trent and you were really, and we were told that, you know, that he was actually scared by kind of the whole scenario of what went on.
Right.
And we're talking about not scared, oh, my knee is bad. We're talking about regular health scared.
Yeah.
So if that's the issue, does a couple extra dollars, you know, blow that over for you? Does that make you feel fine when you are really worried about your real life health?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem to make a ton of sense to me. And if you aren't, do you want those people that misdiagnosed you, or the people in this building? Do you want some of those medical people gone? I don't think that's realistically going to happen, especially at this point in the season. So that's my question I don't get a real answer to is what ultimately can realistically happen that's going to make both sides happy. And I still have yet to get an answer to that.
Yeah, and that's the tough thing because, I mean, if he really wanted some medical and training staff fired, I keep asking myself, like, does that have to happen before he comes back? Like, how does that work? Because that would be super weird if he shows up tomorrow and then all of a sudden they fire the medical and the training staff. Like, that doesn't seem realistic at all.
No, doesn't seem realistic at all. And especially at this point when, you know, you've got a game on Sunday, you know, making major differences to the guys who take care of the other 52 guys, 53 guys plus practice squad, who've been working with all these guys all this time, to all of a sudden make some kind of significant upheaval at this point in the season just doesn't seem realistic.
Yeah.
That was our fifth most read story of the week from thefandc.com.
Number four.
Our own Chris Russell happened to like the Redskins' decisions at the running back position last weekend, with Jay Gruden finally parting with fourth-round pick Samaje Perine and eventually claiming ex-Eagles running back Wendell Smallwood off waivers. Russell writes, "I understand and liked most of the Redskins' choices in trimming their roster down from 90. However, their cut-down day decisions with one position group could become a major problem going forward." Russell goes on, "The Redskins released 2016 first-round pick Josh Doctson. They tried and tried to trade him throughout this week, according to multiple reports, and to no surprise, could not. I thought all along the Redskins should have kept Doctson unless they could get a fifth-round pick back for him in a trade, but the problem is they had no leverage, as everyone knew the Redskins wanted to get rid of Doctson. And there's the other thing. Doctson is far from special. He was inconsistent in the final year of his rookie contract after Washington smartly declined to pick up his fifth-year option in May. As one personnel expert quipped the other day, quote, he's not a first-round talent, never been one, end quote. And no surprise, Doctson went unclaimed on waivers. Russell continues, I can't go crazy and stand on the table for Doctson in any way, even though it sounds like he's doing that, but I can make an argument for why I don't think this move is right for Washington. Hear me out. The Redskins now have a roster without a receiver with NFL experience and durability entering the season. Paul Richardson and Trey Quinn have consistently been injured in their careers. Quinn is obviously a smaller sample size, but he's now coming back from his third injury since he was Mr. Irrelevant at the 2018 draft. Richardson has been hurt in every season except his free agent walk year from Seattle, which is how he landed in Washington. He played just 7 games last year for the Skins and managed just 20 catches. Terry McLaurin, Kelvin Harmon, Steven Sims Jr., and Robert Davis have virtually zero NFL regular season experience. Davis played in 1 game, no receptions, in 2017. The other 3 are rookies. For a team that can't stay healthy and has a dark cloud hovering overhead since the circus tent that is Ashburn, inside the circus tent that is Ashburn, excuse me, this is an enormous risk. Russell writes, durability and dependability should be an emphasis for this organization, and it doesn't seem like it ever is. To read more of Russell's defense of Josh Doctson, which there is more of, head to thefandc.com/Redskins. That is our fourth most read story of the week from thefandc.com.
Number three.
1,200 players were released from rosters around the NFL last Saturday. Of those 1,200, roughly 320 were thrown a lifeline a day later by being named to the practice squad of one of 32 teams. The Redskins made some surprising cuts as they whittled their roster down to 53 men. Josh Doctson, as you just heard, is now a Minnesota Viking. Cam Sims, not the player everyone thought he would be. Too many fumbles. Excuse me. Couldn't hold on to the ball in the preseason. And Adonis Alexander did not show the progress the team had hoped he would in his second season. Here are the 10 players the Redskins saved with a practice squad spot. A cornerback, Adonis Alexander. Defensive lineman Ryan B., wide receiver Jehu Chesson, tight end J.P. Holtz, defensive end Chris Odom, tackle Timon Paris, defensive back Jeremy Reeves, running back Craig Reynolds, wide receiver Cam Sims, and linebacker Daryl Williams. Yes, 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 our practice squad tracker, Redskins practice squad tracker, was our third most read story of the week from thefandc.com. I told you.
Number two.
Citing a well-placed source, the Junkies broke some news this week about running back Adrian Peterson and how Jake Gruden might really feel about the 34-year-old running back.
And then the other big story, I thought, was Jay coming out this weekend and saying, yeah, the offense is going to run through Geis, which I thought was a tell when they gave him 11 times in that third game, but still kind of taking me aback. But I think it's the right decision.
Absolutely.
Because they need playmakers.
And we also have a little nugget to give you.
Yeah, this is a good nugget.
A well-placed source.
Yeah.
That Jay did not want to keep AP.
Well, there was an argument.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't be so strong in saying that.
Well, the argument was, should we cut AP or not?
That's a pretty
and
big
one
argument.
One guy was on the yes side, and the other guy was on the no side.
Okay.
All right.
And it's because, not that AP's not productive, but AP doesn't like being a backup.
Right. So AP,
he's not a fan.
AP likes to get in Jay's ear if he's not playing.
Right. Right?
And Jay doesn't want to deal with it.
Well, that's what he did
so
in
that
New
was
Orleans.
And that's a well-placed source that told us that. And so there was a fight.
Isn't that interesting?
So apparently there was some sort of a disagreement on Saturday over the park about
that. What that tells me is, and I totally believe it, and you know, I know the source.
Mm-hmm.
What that tells me is that's an interesting situation. Watch that play out over the next 4 or 5 weeks, because that's not over with.
Yeah, I mean,
like, that's not going to change.
They picked up Smallwood from the Eagles. So if it becomes untenable with AP, then they got Smallwood right there that adds depth to the running back room. So.
Correct.
And to that point, like, you might think, oh, well, AP knows his place. He knows where he is in the pecking order. He's lucky to be in the league in a lot of ways. Oh, I don't think so. If you read the comments when AP got his award for, I don't know what it was, at that.
I think it was offensive MVP.
At the welcome home luncheon. Hopefully I'm getting this again next year.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? Like, AP expects to be a massive part of this offense again. And if he's not getting fed the ball the way he's used to throughout his entire career, I think you'll see what you've always seen throughout his career, him pouting.
Right.
He's going to be upset.
Same thing, like you said, same thing he did with Sean Payton.
Yeah. So watch that unfold here over the next 4 to 5 weeks. Because I'll be honest, I was surprised. I thought AP would be the first guy, you know, back there. He'd be the guy getting 15 to 20 carries, and then they'd slowly work guys in. That doesn't seem to be the plan at all. The plan seems to be, we drafted that guy for a reason.
Right.
He's healthy now, and we're going to pound the football.
He showed the confidence in his knee in the Atlanta game, and they're just going to ride it.
They're going to ride
it
out.
They're going to give him 15-plus carries against the Eagles and hope that he can be the workhorse.
And frankly, it's a reason why I advocated for Steven Sims. I mean, I know his role will be limited, but they just need guys that are playmakers, and they don't have many.
But I think that Peterson—
and he could be a playmaker.
I think
for him.
Peterson ultimately will get enough carries that'll keep him happy, because I think they're just going to run the ball a lot. I'm not saying Geis can't be a legit number one. I just think Peterson will get his chances.
I think he'll get some chances. I don't think it'll
be
enough.
I don't think it'll be enough to satisfy him. Well, we'll see.
If Geis stays upright, I don't see Peterson getting the ball more than 7 or 8 times a game.
I agree.
And if he's in that range, then he's not going to be happy.
Yeah. If it's 7 or 8, you're right. I agree.
Don't forget about Chris Thompson.
I think it might be a little bit more than that.
Don't forget about Chris Thompson.
Got to use Thompson.
Not that I think they need defending, because they certainly don't. You know, they can stand up on their own. But, you know, I saw the comments from fans saying, and not all fans, but some fans saying, oh, the Junkies are making up stories again. First of all, what do they have to gain by reporting this? What do they have to gain by making this up? Like, they don't need to make up stories. I mean, there's plenty to talk about with the Washington Redskins. Do you honestly think that they're sitting around going, you know, we gotta think of something that'll get the phones going. How about we make up something about the relationship between Jay Gruden and Adrian Peterson? Just poof, out of thin air, we'll just make it up. We'll craft a story. We'll just make it up. And to take it a step further, let me ask you this. When have the Junkies ever been wrong with something they've reported? Oh, wait. When the Junkies decide to run with something, you can take it to the bank that they're getting it from somebody with inside knowledge of the team. I can promise you that. Remember the Alex Smith story? The first ones to break that? that his leg was actually much worse than initially reported, needed additional surgeries, and 9 months later, Smith was still limping around in that hunk of metal. Remember that whole bit? All right, so you've heard the audio. Now listen to Jay Gruden dodge all two Adrian Peterson questions that are asked of him on Thursday.
Kind of ding off that, Coach. I'd like to follow up some of the questions on running back yesterday. You kind of hinted at maybe going with three, and one of those would have to play special teams with guys being your starter and Chris Thompson's role on third down. Does that mean you're still going to possibly go with three? Can you give us an update on that? And does that mean that Adrian would be the man out on the inactive list?
Oh, we haven't decided that yet. That's if you go three. But we still have a lot of work to do. We have to figure out how Jordan is and Fabian and some of the other guys. Caleb Brantley. We have some other guys that we're trying to figure out how they're going to be on game day. It'll have an effect on the entire scope of the 46-man roster.
And here's round number two.
I don't want to put words in your mouth, but if there's a discussion about Adrian potentially being inactive, is that a more sensitive topic because of who he is and what he's accomplished in this game?
If the hurricane hits, then we won't have a game. So I don't know. We got a lot of ifs we got to worry about. We're just going to go tomorrow, see who's active, see who can play, and then we'll make the determination come Sunday.
And now, the number one story this week on thefandc.com.
Redskins receiver cuts represent huge gamble. Rick Snyder titles his column, which is our number one story of the week from thefandc.com. Somebody tweet Rick Snyder, my man, and let him know. I'm sure he'll see it when he wakes up. Cutting Josh Doctson wasn't risky, Snyder opens this piece, but the Washington Redskins are entering the season with only one experienced receiver and their leading target in concussion protocol for the seventh time. In the pass-happy NFL, this is no way to build a franchise. Paul Richardson is the Redskins' elder. After five seasons, despite just one of 30 or more receptions, last season he caught just 20 in Washington because of injuries that, again, limited him in the preseason. And yet, Richardson is the lone proven receiver. After recently declaring potential gets you beat, head coach Jay Gruden is relying completely on inexperienced and rookie receivers when opening at Philadelphia next Sunday. Doctson didn't deserve a fourth chance after little production from the 2016 first rounder, but at least he knew his way across the field. The Redskins are looking for Trey Quinn to play slot. No matter that he missed the preseason with a thumb injury after barely playing in 2018 as a rookie because of two injuries, Quinn's screaming speed and good hands make him an enticing choice, but right now it's all about his potential. The same goes for backup rookie free agent Steven Sims. Snyder goes on at one point writing, "All of this leads to a potential firing of Gruden if receivers don't produce. It's a career gamble." You can read Rick's full column at thefandc.com. It's our top story, most read story of the week from thefandc.com. When we come back, it's my favorite segment of the week, your favorite segment of the week, the Junkies Rewind. You're listening to The Download on 106.7 The Fan.
It's The Download with Chris Lingbach on 106.7 The Fan and the radio.com app.
Welcome back to The Download. It's time for the best segment of the week. But first, let me just remind you that you can find the full recap of JPO 2019 at thesportsjunkies.com. If you missed it, if you were there, you want to see if you were spotted, or you just have a general interest in what the heck happened at JPO 2019 at the beautiful, luxurious MGM National Harbor, just head to thesportsjunkies.com. I thought for this week's Junkies Rewind, it might be ideal to hear the Junkies snap judgments about the Redskins roster cuts when they checked in for the first time this week on Tuesday morning, the day after Labor Day. And this, I think, serves as a nice little primer for the weekend as we head towards their week one game against the Eagles, the first regular season game of the season.
The Junkies Rewind on The Download.
All right, so it's finally here. Week one of the regular season NFL football. We're fired up. Of course, Cakes and I will be
at Glory Days Grill on Sunday in Burke, Virginia, for the first of our pregame shows. Happy to be back at Glory Days Grill. We'll be bouncing around all year long. A lot of people ask us, are you coming here? Are you coming there? This is what I always say. We go where they tell us to go.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Right.
We have no
Because you're getting paid either way. Doesn't matter where they tell you to go, you're getting paid.
I mean, I'm sure we'd love to hit all of the spots in Maryland, D.C., Virginia, where our listeners are. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. We like to interact with the listeners. But we're not the Glory Days Grill board of directors.
Right.
We're not on that board of directors.
We have no say whatsoever. Yeah. We're just, we just you know who we are? We're just working stiffs.
If you
want to
go, where are you going to be this weekend?
Burke, Virginia.
Let's go to Burke. If you want to go hang out with JP and Cakes and bother them while they're talking.
And that will happen.
Drive your ass from Fairfax to Burke. Or drive from Montgomery County to Burke. Go see them.
But we will be bouncing around, and we will let you know where we're going to be each and
every
week.
I'll tell you what. This is what I can't believe. There's a lot of things I can't believe in life. I can't believe we're already 1 week through college football, and we're, 5 days away from the NFL?
Mm-hmm. 2 days away from the NFL.
2 days, well, unless you count Thursday.
True.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
I know. Yeah. It's here.
It goes like that.
Well, the Redskins make some big news with their roster cuts over the weekend, most notably, and we talked about it all preseason, whether they would actually have the stones to do it.
Surprising
they cut Josh Doctson.
Yep.
They cut the cord after three disappointing seasons. The things which jump out at me about Josh Doctson, I couldn't believe this when I read it this morning. His biggest game that they describe, his best game, was against New Orleans where he had four catches for 81 yards.
Yeah.
He never once had a 100-yard game.
It just never worked out.
Yeah. He never once grabbed more than six passes in a game.
I mean, the fact that you he never have a 100-yard game, your first-round pick,
how many total catches did he have in
55 or something? I don't know.
Was it only 55?
Maybe 80. I don't know. It's a pretty low number.
In his Redskins career?
Yeah.
Might be 81.
In his career.
I think it might be 81.
Looks like 81.
Yeah.
So I looked at the numbers, and I think it was 81 for about 1,000 yards. I don't know how many touchdowns he had.
Yeah.
I said, that's
eight total.
I said, that's pretty good for a single season.
Right. Yeah, right.
That's a great year.
Yeah.
If it was 1 year, but that's for a career. Yeah, it just didn't work out. And they actually cut him. It seems like they cut him to keep your boy Steven Sims.
Yeah, I don't know if you were here because you've been, you know, you missed some shows, but I just pointed out when Michael Thomas signed that huge extension, Michael Thomas was drafted behind Josh Doctson.
Yeah. Yep.
And you looked at his numbers last season. And you could put all of Doctson's numbers together in any category, catches, yards, touchdowns, and Michael Thomas eclipsed it with just one.
Look, I don't want to just beat up on Doctson. I'm glad he got picked up by Minnesota. You hate to see anyone lose their job. And, you know, he's, what, 25, 26 years old. You want to see him still make a living and live out his dream. Hopefully it works for him in Minnesota. It just wasn't going to work here. He got off on the wrong foot being injured, and it just never got going. What's amazing to me, though, is now when you look back on those drafts from the McLuhan era, I believe Matt Ioannidis and Brandon Scherff are the only guys remaining.
That's it.
I think that's it.
I thought he was like a personnel genius.
Oh, yeah. He was supposed to be the adult in the room that they brought in there. Those Now, a lot of that is because if you don't have the people that are drafting you supporting you within the organization, they'll move on. And that very well may be what have happened with Doctson. But at the end of the day, the production wasn't there.
Here's what Gruden said about Josh Doctson finally being cut.
You guys cut Josh Doctson. What went to that decision?
Well, it's a shame. Josh is a good player, and wish him nothing but the best. But at the end of the day, we decided to go with Terry at X and keep Paul Richardson. And obviously, the other guys, Trey Quinn and Steven Sims, really emerged late as a weapon for us. So those are the guys we went with.
Yeah, I think if Sims had not emerged toward the end, Doctson may have held on.
Do you think this is a good move? I saw Grant Paulson online kind of saying, well, they're giving up Doctson, and not that he's great, but he probably would have given you 500 yards and
he's been
a couple of touchdowns
and
you know, maybe 50 catches.
Well,
and none of these guys that they have accomplished that.
They're gambling on youth. I mean, it is a very green wide receiver core here for the Reds.
Those are five. That's a pretty low bar, though. Sure, you're right. Like, Doctson could maybe give you that. But so could almost any human.
Think about I agree with you.
So could almost any
human.
I'm
just saying that some are making that argument. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067, because I guess Paul Richardson has a track record. Trey Quinn certainly doesn't. McLaurin certainly doesn't. The rest of the guys
Sims
that are backing him up have no
resumes. I was going to say, five out of the six receivers basically have never played.
It's probably the most inexperienced receiving core maybe in the history
of the
league.
Maybe in the history of the NFL.
I mean, I've never seen anything like it.
I know.
But I think what they're going with, and I think Jay talked about this weekend, I'm sure you have the clip, where they're going to run the offense through Geis, which is surprising to me early on. You want to play the clip of Jay?
It's clip six.
You know, we drafted him for a reason. We feel like he can be a first, second, and even third down back if needed. So I think the offense, the carries wise, will probably go through him pretty much.
So they're going to run the offense through Geis, and then we all know that Case, let's be honest, it's no disrespect, he's a game manager type, and they'll just make do with the young receivers that they can.
Just imagine if Case plays poorly, you know, early, and they decide to pull the plug, and they go to the rookie quarterback with all of those rookie receivers.
Right.
And a rookie running back, essentially. I know it's a second year, but he didn't play. Man, that screams rebuild to me.
Yeah, but you know?
I actually like what they're doing because, I mean, Josh, you can say what you want. At the very best, he's an average NFL receiver who really doesn't have any particular skill set other than a jump ball. They had some guys like Sims. I've been talking to him. You know, hopefully he's active and hopefully give him a few looks. Sims could take it to the house. Richardson, if he's healthy. The thing is a lot of those guys are nicked up. Richardson gets hurt all the time. McLaurin was hurt for part of the camp. Trey Quinn is hurt last year and part of camp this year, missed some preseason games. But if those guys are healthy, they do have young guys, I think, that can make some plays.
Yeah, if I were the Skins, I would have a lot of free agent wide receivers' numbers stored and ready to call, like if guys get nicked up.
Right. I think they're also going with the New England sort of thing where, you know what, we don't have to have big-name receivers. Right. Now, they have Tom Brady, of course.
Right. I mean, they have Julian Edelman.
But they made him. They made Julian Edelman. Julian Edelman was a nothing. Julian Edelman was a quarterback. Right? So I think they're going
Brady,
with that.
Yeah, Brady makes
them. Brady makes them. You're right. Not the same thing.
I mean,
but I think they're looking at the
players.
Model and they're saying, you know what? We don't necessarily have to have big name guys or guys with huge resumes. We're just going to fit them into our system. And, you know, until proven otherwise, it's nothing. But I like it. I like the group they went with. I agreed with every single one of those that they kept. I agreed with every single one. I'm glad they kept Cam Sims on the practice squad. Maybe they'll need, if they need a big receiver, they can pull him in. But I think those guys, even though unproven, can be weapons.
And with Steve Sims, I think they look at him and they say, we might have, now this is quite a stretch, like a mini version of like Tyreek Hill. Like a very poor man's version of Tyreek Hill that needs to be refined. Maybe he has some of that in
him.
Well,
he could return kicks. I've heard the coaches say he could play all the three spots at receiver.
Right. They saw upside with him where there was clearly none
and
with Doxson.
Yeah, he's got burst. I said it, you know, all last week. All you have to do is watch him, and you can see, man, that kid's got a burst. He could take it to the house at any time if a seam opens up.
Here's Gruden on Steven Sims making the team.
Jay, you mentioned keeping Steven Sims. What have you seen from him throughout camp and the preseason? And going back to the Ravens game, how much of a factor was that in your decision-making, his performance in that final preseason game?
Yeah, you always have to count the fact that when the lights turn on, how people sometimes excel, some people decel a little bit, so to speak. And Steven definitely was one guy that the game's not too big for. He showed his explosion in the return game, the ability to run after catch. He's shown out here at practice and even in the game sometimes. I just think that he does something with the ball in his hands that not many people can do. Very explosive. So figure out ways to get him the ball somehow. Just get him acclimated to the offense. He's still learning, you know, as a rookie, but he's doing a good job. And I just think when the ball's in his hands, good things happen.
I'm so surprised that people were really surprised by it because we saw it in camp. People were talking about it in camp. You saw them targeting him every game he was targeted. He didn't necessarily make plays every time, but they were targeting him in the games. It was a no-brainer to me. I thought it was no-brainer.
I wasn't necessarily surprised they kept him. I thought he would have been the seventh receiver kept because I thought Doxson would have stayed. That kind of surprised me.
I am surprised they cut Doxson.
I don't hate the move. It just surprised me that they cut him.
By them not playing him in the fourth preseason game, but now in hindsight they said they didn't play him because they didn't want to hurt him. They wanted to try to trade him. So I felt kind of bad for him because he didn't get a chance to at least show one last time. But ultimately it's going to work out for Josh. He'll be in Minnesota. Fresh start. Kirk obviously likes
him. He'll
be
out of the league in 2 years.
But yeah, who cares?
He's
at least he gets another shot.
He'll be impactful there.
He'll get another shot.
I think Steven Sims, for the most part, and Robert Davis, nice stories. They're not going to be impactful for this team. The big chip
is Steven Sims could be a player. I don't know why
you're playing. I'm going to bet that he's not going to have more than 20 catches. Anyway,
I won't bet that, but I'll bet that he's still in the league in 3 years.
Okay, that's not what I said. It's just he's not going to be that impactful.
We'll see.
Because
we'll see.
The fourth, fifth, sixth receivers
he might
usually
be impactful
aren't.
In the return game. And he might be better than that. But when Trey Quinn gets hurt in the second game,
that's possible,
which will happen because he gets hurt all the time.
Then that's your new slot guy.
Then you're going to watch and you're going to
coach him up in the slot.
It's possible. Yeah. The big chip, though, in the offense, beyond Darius Geis, clearly they're going to run the offense through Geis,
It's McLaurin, and we haven't seen anything from him.
Yeah, another
like
one.
McLaurin.
Another one when he gets hurt.
This
that'll
is
be
the
an
deal.
Opportunity
they just
him.
Decide. They decided that they did have Doxson running with the ones apparently all of training camp, but there was there. We heard the whispers that they want McLaurin to be that guy. Well, McLaurin's going to be the guy. We haven't seen any of him in the preseason. Obviously, good college resume, was drafted high. What do we expect from Terry McLaurin?
I don't know. You know whose resume trounces his? Steven Sims Jr. Look at their resumes in college. It just the thing is I love McLaurin. Let's see if he can stay healthy. I have my doubts.
Yeah,
I don't think Paul Richardson can stay healthy.
But that's unfair because McLaurin is on a stacked
fair
team.
Fair enough. Not going to argue that point.
I mean, they had great running backs. They had great receivers.
But let's see if he can stay healthy. He couldn't even stay healthy in camp.
You killed me when I said that about Darius Geis.
I don't remember. I'm sure. We argue whatever.
Say he's potentially injury prone.
Okay.
Because he had injuries.
Okay.
What's McLaurin missed? Preseason?
He missed every game. Play one play?
There's just a lot of questions.
Geis missed time in college, and he missed an entire year of the pros. So,
I agree.
Maybe I'm wrong on Geis. Maybe Geis is injury prone.
Yeah, man. I don't know.
Who knows?
We'll see.
I know Paul Richardson is. I know Trey Quinn appears to be. And McLaurin, so he's only been here for a week, and they can't get him on the field.
Well, that's your 1-2-3.
And we're not even talking about
right. So that's why I think there's going to be opportunity for
Sims. What
about
Jordan Reed?
Yeah, one of the key cogs.
Jordan Reed always hurts. Yeah, that's why I think.
Is that 100 concussions?
That's why I think a guy like Sims is going to get opportunity.
Well, that's why I think this year, if we redo our picks, I may go under my 6-10 prediction.
Yeah.
I think it could be a spectacularly bad season. If you really think about it, I can't remember. Maybe it was a guest that swayed me.
Well, that's why
really
I said
think
it's,
about
the screams
it,
rebuild to me.
Yeah, if you really think about it, okay, the defense should be better.
Yeah.
But if you really think about the offense, an unproven running back that's going to run the offense through, and he may be good.
Yeah, he looks dynamic.
You got a banged up, or not a banged up, but a decreased offensive line because Trent Williams isn't there, and who knows when he's going to come back.
I don't know if he comes back.
I don't think he's going to be in Redskins Park today.
It's a big loss.
He can surprise us all.
Although I heard,
and then
by the way,
receiving core you don't believe in.
I heard Heisty saying Kareem Copeland insinuated yesterday that there was a chance. He threw out there Kareem Copeland, who writes for the Post, said there was a chance. There's still a chance that he shows up today, and he obviously seemed to get that from somewhere. Maybe he's getting that straight for Bruce. But he was the only guy reporting that.
He may just say
F it and show up.
He could surprise us
Maybe. But again, JP's point, very inexperienced. Like you said, maybe the most inexperienced wide receiver crew in the history of the league.
Yeah.
Besides, maybe an expansion
team. Seems like a very shaky house of cards.
Maybe it's not as important as we think.
Oh, I think it's very important. In this day and age, when everyone's throwing the ball, it's important.
Yeah, but
it's
maybe,
not as important
maybe
as
you don't have to
because it's not like you got Aaron Rodgers throwing to five rookies.
True,
you've got
it's true, but if they're talented, those guys are talented, don't you?
Yeah, but it goes beyond that. All these guys are talented; they made the NFL.
Yeah,
every team out there has talented players.
Yeah,
but you've got to have guys who kind of know how to play the game at that level. You've got to have a quarterback that can get them the ball. You know,
you might have
a rookie quarterback throwing to rookie receivers.
Yeah, I have some bizarre faith in the young receivers. I just do.
Well, that's good. You should.
But except for Richardson, because I have no faith in him being healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, I might have cut him.
So your starters, are going to be McLaurin, Richardson, Quinn at the slot.
Yeah.
Steven Sims is in the mix somewhere, and Robert Davis. Who am I missing?
Harmon. Yep.
Harmon. I don't have big expectations.
I think it's safe to say they are the worst wide receiver corps in the entire NFL, heading into 2019.
Well,
as far as their resume.
As far as experience.
Right.
Yeah.
But you might go into it six games in and go, you know what? Like, what if Sims is like the next Crowder? Like
I'd
a guy
love to
that
be
was like a late draft pick
but
and
I'm
just surprise you.
Heading into week one, there's no way to not say that they're the worst wide receiver core in the league.
Yeah, I can't argue it. Resume-wise. Like, they probably have the least production of any group in the league, probably.
Maybe you rank them a little higher on potential.
I think they do have potential, though. I think Quinn has potential, by all accounts. I think McLaurin has potential, and I think Sims has.
Well, we'll know a lot more Monday.
I think Robert Davis is a guy. I don't think he's necessarily special. I think Harmon is a guy. I don't think he's special. And I think Richardson can't stay healthy.
Now, remember, these guys who put up some numbers, decent numbers in the preseason, are now going to be playing against studs for four quarters.
Yeah. Yeah. And they have a quarterback that's not proven that he can really get the ball to them in a special kind of way.
I think they're going to have to really control the clock with the ground game, and they're going to have to play a really good defense. especially against Philly.
When are we doing our predictions and our bold predictions?
Do it this week.
When are we doing that?
It's Thursday.
You got to do it this week?
Thursday?
Well, that's the opening game.
Got to do it soon.
Yep.
My bold predictions never, ever come anywhere close to hitting.
Yeah, because they're
not
just BS.
Even close.
They're just BS. There's no basis for
it. You're just
it.
Grasping. You're throwing a dart, hoping right. it hits.
I said Le'Veon Bell wouldn't play a down.
I'm not saying yours didn't hit. I'm saying mine are always a million miles away.
I think when you throw something out there, some of it sticks and you look like a genius.
That part is
the best part about it.
Maybe. I don't know. I can't remember my picks. They mean nothing to me.
By the way, I'm looking at last year's stats, and the Redskins, I don't think, had one guy in the top 50 receivers in the NFL. Where will their top guy fit into the
would it be
NFL
like a
picture?
Trey Quinn would be one of the slot guys who catch like 60 balls, 60, 70 balls. I think if Quinn can stay healthy or McLaurin or one of those guys, I think somebody's got to have it.
I would say it would be
somebody
Reed,
will have
but
to have it.
He just can't. I mean, he can't even make it through the preseason.
Who? Reed. Yeah. Reed, I've
you can't count given on up Reed. On Reed.
You can't count on him.
You can't count on him.
And it's shame.
It sucks.
Not his fault. He just can't stay healthy.
I mean, it's not his fault that Keanu Neal dove into his head like a missile in a preseason game, like a jackass. Yeah.
Right.
It's not his fault.
No, looks like he led the way last year.
These kind of hits happen all the time.
At least in this receiving list 2018 stats, he's the first name that pops up with 54
Who?
Catches last year. Jordan Reed.
Yeah. Jordan probably won't have 54. He won't stay healthy. Richardson won't stay healthy. McLaurin, who's just banking on McLaurin, Quinn, and I think Sims.
I think if Reed,
little guys.
If Reed plays 12 or more games, he will lead this league. He will lead this team in receptions by 20-plus.
If who does?
If Reed plays 12 or more games.
Yeah, but I don't think he will.
If he plays 12 or 13, he's going to catch like 80 balls.
They're going to spread it around. It's not going to be fancy, and it's going to be depend on that rushing attack. Which I say, I'm telling you, I am shocked. I thought AP would carry the bulk of the carries, and it would be a slow transition. They'd slowly work him in. But I told you last week, when they gave him 11 carries in that meaningless third preseason game, that changed my opinion. That showed me, wow, they want to use him now.
Get on board the Geis train.
They want to use Geis right now. And I can't blame him. He's
their
most
weapon.
Dynamic back other than Thompson. But Thompson can't stay healthy. And Thompson obviously doesn't have the body to be an every down back.
A lot of health question marks all over the roster.
Lack of health and inexperience. Not usually a good
recipe. Hey, you know what, though? Should
win.
Be better than the Dolphins. The Dolphins roster is depleted.
Yeah. Well, they got a ton of first round picks.
They got a ton of picks.
Hey, they meet in week six.
I'm not sure
Skins
that I would have
Dolphins.
Done that. Maybe I would have done that because now you got to hit. You got to hit on those picks now.
Right.
The Chunkies Rewind on the download.
I got to get out of here. It's good to be back this week. I'll see you guys same time next Saturday at 7 a.m. In the meantime, head to iTunes if you haven't done this already and search Overtime on 106.7 The Fan. Hit subscribe if you'd like. But if nothing else, please download this podcast because it helps me in a way that I can't really explain to you in words. The boss is seeing that people are supporting the show always helps keep me on the air and keeps me coming back for more. So thank you to all the longtime downloaders out there who help out the show through the years, and I'll see you guys next Saturday at 7 a.m. Bye-bye.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.